The sermon you are about to hear was recorded at Grace Baptist Church, Cape Coral, Florida. For additional sermons and more information, visit our website at truegraceofgod.org.
The first century world into which Jesus was born and in which the New Testament church was planted did not have a very high regard for children. In fact, children in the Roman world were very often regarded as a problem, a bother, not very valuable at all until they attained an age when they could be useful in the home. In fact, there were several Roman customs that were present in the first century that made the life of children rather perilous. There was a law called the Patrius Potestas that gave fathers absolute authority over their families, including their children, so that the father could basically do whatever he wanted to do with his children, including bringing his children to the point of death. He could sell them as slaves. He could enslave them himself. He could punish them as he saw fit, use them however he wanted to use them, and this law remained in effect until he either emancipated his children or until he himself died. This went along with a custom that we know today as child exposure. When a baby was born into a Roman home, the child would be taken and placed at the feet of his father. And if the father turned around and walked away, the child would be taken and thrown out. If the father stooped down and picked up the child, then the child was known to be welcomed into the home. We have a letter that comes from the late 1st century BC, just a few decades before Jesus was born into the world, from a Roman businessman. He was out of town and he writes back to his pregnant wife and their little child. And he says this in the letter, "I beg and beseech of you to take care of the little child, and as soon as we receive wages, I will send them off to you. If, good luck to you, you have a child," she's pregnant if he comes to full term and birth, "if it is a boy, let it live. If it is a girl, throw it out." It wasn't uncommon in first century Roman world for Roman families to take their children and just expose them, to put them up on a wall or to leave them somewhere in the wilderness expecting that they would not live. Some people would go and rescue these children. They would look for them, but then they would raise them to serve as slaves or to be sold into sex trafficking. It became very common for Christians to rescue those exposed children, to bring them up under the teaching of the Lord Jesus. And in fact, Christians were adamant that no one who named the name of Christ could participate in such a horrific custom of exposing babies. It was common for Roman households to kill sickly babies or those who were born with deformities. In the first century, a Roman statesman and philosopher by the name of Seneca wrote, "We slaughter a fierce ox, we strangle a mad dog, we plunge a knife into sickly cattle lest they taint the herd. Children who are born weakly and deformed, we drown." It was this kind of widespread disregard for children that made it possible for King Herod to issue his edict at the birth of Jesus that babies should be slaughtered, and that those in the Roman Empire simply accepted it. The first century Greco-Roman world simply did not place a great value on children. As we look back on that time, the temptation and tendency in us is to just disparage it and think how horrible, how pagan, how ruthless can a people be? But before we dismiss them merely as barbaric and distance ourselves from them too far, we should stop and consider, what will future generations say about this era of American history? Since 1973, when the Supreme Court ruled that it was lawful for women to have abortions, over 60 million unborn babies have been slaughtered. Every 29 seconds, an unborn baby in America is murdered legally in the United States. Our culture's attitude toward children is no better than those of ancient pagan Rome. And in some regard, brothers and sisters, we need to face the fact that in many respects, it's worse. In light of that, we should never assume that we have nothing to learn about children, how to think about children, how to value them and regard them. Rather, we should always be attentive to hear what the Word of God sets before us when it addresses the subject of children. This morning, I want us to consider two lessons that come out of one of our Lord's encounters with children. How He engaged them, what He did, and what He said. Our text is taken from Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. This is the third gospel, the third book in the New Testament, the 18th chapter. We're going to look at verses 15, 16, and 17 of Luke chapter 18. If you're using one of the Bibles that's provided in the chairs in front of you, you'll find this on page 877. 877. In Luke 18, the author places this story, this record of Jesus' encounter with children and their parents, right after a couple of parables. The last of which is the parable that Jesus told about two people who went up to the temple to pray. A very religious Pharisee and a very lowly, disregarded tax collector. And he says it was the tax collector who went home from the temple justified before God. And then right after our text, the story is recorded of Jesus' encounter with a rich young ruler. Thought he had everything. Thought he had obeyed God's commandments perfectly until Jesus exposed his covetousness and how he loved his wealth more than he loved God. So between those two bookends, we find verses 15, 16, and 17 of Luke 18. And I want to read these verses for us this morning. I encourage you to get a copy of the Word out so you can follow along, because we're just going to look at this and see what God has to say to us about Jesus' response to and lessons from children. So hear the word of the Lord. Now they were bringing even infants to him, that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." This encounter between Jesus and children and their parents is recorded not only in Luke's gospel, it's also found in Mark's gospel in chapter 10 and in Matthew's gospel, chapter 19. Three times we have it set before us in the gospel record to teach us about how we should think of children, regard children, and indeed to emulate children. One of the things that we see very clearly is the tenderness of Jesus. His willingness to receive little ones to himself, even the weakest, most insignificant people around. Jesus, the great shepherd, the Son of God, the Savior, welcomes. That's a great lesson, and it's worth meditating on to think about the character of our Savior. But this morning, what I specifically want to call to your attention is how Jesus, in this passage, calls us to value children and to learn to be like them. To value them and to learn to be like them. What does he say about the importance of children? Well, we see this in what he says as well as what he does. If you look at verses 15 and 16, Jesus welcomes these little ones. It's interesting, isn't it, that the parents seem to intuitively have known that Jesus would welcome their children. And so they're not pretentious. They're not thinking about it. They see Jesus and they want their children to be in the presence of Jesus. They want Jesus to bless their children. That's why they bring them to him. Luke says they were bringing even their infants. The other two Gospels just simply say they were children. But even the smallest of children, the newborn babies, these youngest, most vulnerable children, the parents wanted their kids to have personal contact with Jesus. Luke says, so that Jesus might touch them. Matthew explains it further by saying, so that he might lay his hands on them and bless them. They recognized in Jesus something that set him apart from every other person. And they wanted the blessing that exudes from him to come to their little ones. Parents, stop and think about how you regard your own children. You're very careful with your children, right? I mean, you're careful with what they eat. You're careful for their physical welfare and them getting sleep. You're careful who you let watch them and what you expose them to because you're concerned about their emotional, physical, and mental well-being. And all of that is right and good. But what do you think about and how are you working for their spiritual welfare? How concerned are you about their spiritual formation? Children need Jesus Christ. They're born into a sinful world, and they're born with sinful natures themselves. And unless they are saved by Jesus Christ, they will miss God altogether, regardless of how healthy they are, how intelligent they are, how socially acceptable they are, how successful they might become. The good news is that Jesus receives sinful children to himself. He welcomes them. Listen, your children are never too young to start learning about Jesus, for you to start taking them to Jesus. How can parents take children to Jesus today? You can't do it physically because Jesus is not physically here, but you can do it by teaching them his word, by training them to hear and heed his word, by training them to worship the Lord with you in the gatherings of the church, by talking to them early and often about how good Jesus is, how wonderful he is, how attractive he is, how willing he is to receive even children to himself. Our text teaches us that Jesus does exactly that. And Jesus himself in our text specifically voices this. He does it positively and negatively. Look at verse 16. He says, "Let the children come to me." That's positive. In other words, this needs to be done. This must be done. And then negatively, "Do not hinder them." There can be no mistaking Jesus' point in what he says. He desires children to come to him. He's willing to receive children who are brought to him, and his disciples must do nothing to hinder children from coming to him. Luke just simply gives us that summary way of what Jesus said. Mark spells it out in greater detail. In Mark 10:16, he tells us that Jesus not only spoke, but also he took the children in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. It's not just that Jesus said, "Let them come to me," but when they were brought to him, he cuddled them. I mean, it's a beautiful picture, isn't it? This is the eternal Son of God. This is the one who spoke everything into existence. This is the one who Hebrews says, by the word of his power, upholds everything right now, so that if Jesus were to take his hand off this world, it would implode. He holds it together, and here he is, taking children into his arms and cuddling them. Parents, did you know that Jesus is more willing to receive your children than you are willing to take your children to him? Do you ever find it troublesome, mom, dad, to read the Bible to your kids? I mean, isn't it a pain sometimes? Isn't it a challenge? Isn't it hard? Or Sunday mornings? Have you ever given in on Sunday mornings to the fact that it's just too difficult, we're just not going to make it to church today because these kids are just not being compliant? Jesus is willing to receive even the weakest of children. We should remember his words, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them." I encourage you, mom, dad, keep that scene before your mind. When you find it hard, when you're too tired and you think, we just can't read the Bible. We're not going to pray the Bible tonight. We're not going to sing the Bible tonight. And you think, I just can't do it and it's not that important. Remember, your Lord and Savior says, "Let the little children come to me." Stay the course. Parents, one of the most significant things you can do is to be diligent in your resolve to shape your children's thoughts about Jesus Christ. To let them learn from you, to hear from you, to observe in you the value, the importance of Christ. To teach them God's word so that they will know that their parents believe that Jesus Christ is the only Savior in the world and that He is willing to save children. Jesus welcomes children, but we see not only that, but He also opposes specifically those who would hinder children from coming to Him. In verse 15, the disciples rebuke these parents. They tried to keep the parents from bringing children to Jesus, but Jesus does the exact opposite. He calls the parents and children to Himself in verse 16. Mark tells us that when Jesus saw what His disciples were doing, He was indignant. That's the word that He uses. In other words, He was upset with what He saw His followers doing to these parents and children. We aren't told exactly why the disciples tried to keep these parents and children from coming to Jesus. Maybe they thought Jesus was too tired. Maybe they thought He was too important in what He was doing and telling these parables. We're about to have a conversation with a very important man. Maybe they had a different agenda and they had plans for what Jesus was supposed to be doing next. But two things about the disciples are made very clear. One, they misunderstood children. And two, they misunderstood Jesus. They thought that these children were not significant enough to disturb Jesus. And they didn't think Jesus was compassionate enough to be disturbed by them. Well, both of those are serious mistakes. And brothers and sisters, we must avoid making those mistakes too. We must not hinder children from coming to Jesus. And you might think, well, I wouldn't do that. I would never do that. Well, we can inadvertently hinder children from coming to Jesus. How? One way is by failing to teach them the Word of God simply, accurately, and lovingly. That's the only way that they're going to come to know Jesus today. The only way that our children or anyone will come to have a life-transforming relationship with God through Jesus Christ is by trusting Him as Lord. And the only way that anyone will ever trust Jesus as Lord is to take God at His word. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, hearing through the word of Christ." You want children? You want anyone to come to Christ? Then you must seek to get the truth of God's word in front of them so that they might hear that word and trust the Lord Jesus. Parents, your kids are never too young to hear God's word read, to hear it prayed, to hear it sung, to see it put into practice. They're never too young to bring them to gatherings like this and worship. They're never too young in your home for you to read to them, even though you think they're not getting anything. They don't understand. They're never too young. Brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, grandparents, we need to do whatever we can do as well to help get the Word of God before children. The 19th century preacher Charles Spurgeon had a special relationship with his grandparents. When he was a young child, he lived with them for an extended period of time. And he tells a story in his autobiography of how his grandmother offered to pay him a penny for every Isaac Watts hymn that he would memorize. Well, Spurgeon just had a photographic memory. He could read a hymn once and then recite it. And so he began to bankrupt his grandmother. And so she cut it to half a penny per hymn. And then she cut it to a quarter of a penny per hymn. Well, his grandfather was watching, and he said to his grandson, Charles, I'll pay you a penny for every rat that you kill in the barn. And so Spurgeon quit memorizing hymns and started killing rats. And he said later in his life, long after I'd spent the money that I earned killing rats, I remembered the spiritual, theological lessons from the hymns that I memorized. Well, Grandpa, don't do anything that will cause your grandchildren to love killing rats more than they love memorizing good biblical hymns or theology. We've got to be careful and set before young ones that which will cause them to hear and to heed what God has said about His Son in His Word. Church, we need to do what we can to assist parents in this noble work of teaching children and help those parents who are committed to this goal. We need to do this in our educational structures here in the church to assist parents who are teaching their children and to teach children whose parents are unable or unwilling to teach their children the truth that is in Jesus Christ. If you're involved in a Sunday school or Wednesday night class in teaching or leading in any way, or you volunteer for the nursery, I want you to know you are doing kingdom work. You're being like Jesus and like David and like Paul and others that we see throughout history who gave themselves for children's sake to see Christ formed in them. Take your job seriously. Get here early. Welcome the children when they come. Do what you can. Pray and ask God to help you to help those children to come to know and believe that Jesus Christ is a great Savior for sinners. Even for children who are sinners. Some of you aren't serving in any kind of children's work, and yet maybe you should. Maybe you should. Maybe you should volunteer. And perhaps as you meditate on this text, the Spirit of God might lead you to do just that so that you're willing to come to the leadership here and say, you know, I'm willing to be trained to see if I'm capable of helping out in leading children, watching babies in nursery care, teaching on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or in some other capacity. If that's true, then do that. Come see the elders and let us encourage you and show you the pathway to receive training so that you might participate in this vital ministry. We can hinder children from coming to Jesus by not teaching them the Word of God. A second way that we can hinder them is by living hypocritical lives in front of them. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus spells this out very plainly. Listen to what he says in verses 5 and 6. Whoever receives a child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Those are sobering words from our Lord. To cause a little one, a child, who's looking to Jesus to stumble, to sin, because of your inconsistent life? Jesus says it's better to tie a big rock around your neck and jump into the ocean. Brothers and sisters, the children among us not only hear what we say, they see what we do. Moms, dads, in your homes, your children will not only listen to you, they will observe you. And if they observe you living differently than what you are teaching, you may be encouraging them with one hand to look to the Lord while pulling them away from Him with the other hand. So what must we do? None of us lives with perfect consistency. All of us sin in grievous ways. We've confessed sin this morning because we know it's true. What must we do? We must learn to live in repentance. We must learn to acknowledge sin when we are guilty of sin, to confess sin, to deal with sin, not to whitewash it, not to pretend that it's something other than it is, so that our children who hear us teaching them about Jesus can see how people who depend upon Jesus go to Him in repentance when we fail. Don't live hypocritical lives before your children. You can hinder them. A third way you can hinder them is by failing to believe that they need to be saved or that they can be saved. Now, children are precious. It was newborn children are just amazing. And we got to see little Ryle up here a moment ago. And, you know, you just look at that picture and you think, this is incredible. Look at that little beautiful baby. And if we're not careful, we can forget that that beautiful little baby has come into this world with a sinful nature because his parents are sinners and their parents and all of our parents, all the way back to Adam, have rebelled against God. So nobody comes into the world in a spiritually no man's land, neutral zone. Nobody arrives righteous. Everybody comes stained with sin and in need of a Savior. Our children need to be saved. We've got to believe that. We've got to keep that in our minds as we deal with them formally and informally, as we pray for them, as we have goals for them and desires for them. This must trump everything, that Christ would be formed in them, that He would save them, call them to Himself. And as we pray, and as we work for this, we should remember Jesus is willing. He's demonstrated it. He's willing to receive children to Himself. Now, there are a lot of children here this morning. I'm delighted with that. That's one of the things that, as a church, we intentionally encourage, is we want kids to be here. And we're glad you're here. And sometimes they make noises, and parents have to take them out, and they may not be in a good mood or whatever. That's fine. We want kids here. And kids, young people, children, I want you to listen to me for a moment. If you're a child, doesn't matter how old you are, you're a child. Listen to me, okay? The Bible says that you have come into this world with sin. Do you ever feel that in yourself? Do you ever get upset? You know you shouldn't do what you do, or you should do things you don't want to do, and you think things you shouldn't think. Have you ever just experienced that about yourself? And, you know, maybe specifically your mom or dad told you to do something, you just didn't do it, you didn't want to do it, or you did it with complaining attitudes, and you feel a little bit bad about it? Well, that's because of sin. That's what sin does. And you know, your sin is not primarily just against mom or dad. Every sin is always against God. And if God's made you to feel bad about it, be encouraged. Because that is His way of convicting you and of teaching you the truth about yourself so that you will come to understand you're not the way you're supposed to be. And you need to admit that. You need to agree that what God says about you and your sin is right and true so that you can also believe that what God says about Jesus is right and true. That's exactly why Jesus came into the world. God had to send His Son into the world to save sinners like you and me. And the only way that you or me can be saved is by turning from sin and trusting Jesus. And I want you to believe this. You do not have to wait to be an adult to be saved. Jesus welcomes children. And He will receive you as you turn from sin and trust Him as Lord right now. You, where you are, by His Spirit working in you, can turn from your sin, renounce it, say, that's wicked, I don't want to be that way anymore, and trust the Lord Jesus to save you. And He will save you. He does that for children. He does that for adults. It's the only way anybody ever gets into a right relationship with God, is by taking God at His word. Well, that's the first lesson that we learn from Jesus in this text. We need to value children. We need to love them. We need to care for them as we ought. But along with that, we also learn from this encounter that we must become like children. Look at verse 16 again. Jesus says, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. But then He gives the reason. for to such belongs the kingdom of God. And then he elaborates that point in verse 17. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Jesus takes this opportunity to make a very important point, a point that is vital for our own spiritual understanding and maturity. In order to understand and appreciate this point, however, we've got to be careful not to fall into traps of misunderstanding that some have fallen into as they've listened to what Jesus says here. Jesus is not saying that children automatically belong to the kingdom of God. There are some that take these words that way, but Jesus doesn't say, and these are in the kingdom. He doesn't say that. He says, of such is the kingdom of God comprised. He's not talking about these children that were around him there as opposed to other children, or children of these parents who are concerned for their souls rather than children who do not enjoy the privileges of parents who are concerned for their souls. Neither is Jesus teaching anything about baptism because of parents. Some of our paedo-baptist friends look to this passage as a justification for sprinkling their babies because they are children of Christians. Even J.C. Ryle says that. But there's nothing in this passage about sprinkling babies. Nothing in this passage about baptism. This is not the point that Jesus is making. Rather, his point is that children teach us something important about the kingdom of God. He says, to such. In other words, to those who display this kind of nature. Little children are naturally dependent. They're humble. They have no standing in society. And as such, children can become for us living parables of how God's kingdom must be received if we are to enter into it. How must it be received? It must be received by faith. It must be received with simplicity. In other words, by faith plus nothing else. Jesus excludes everyone who does not become like a child of God. You see the way he puts it negatively? Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. By receiving the kingdom of God, what he's talking about is coming under the rule and the reign of God through trusting Jesus as Lord. It's coming into a right relationship with God through faith in Christ. Have you ever watched a little toddler? Maybe just been able to walk for a few months. And when they get a little disoriented or a little frightened, they look for a safe face, mom or dad or someone they know and trust. And they run up to them. You ever just seen them? What are they doing? They put their hands up. They put their hands up. They have no negotiating power. They have nothing to offer. They don't come with arguments. They just need. And they look expectantly. And they open up to receive being lifted up by Dad. That's a picture of how we must be to enter into God's kingdom. To enter into a right relationship with God. We come not claiming that we have something in our hands to offer God and say, God, if you'll give me this, I'll give you that. We come acknowledging that like children who need their dad to lift them up, we need God. And we come counting on His mercy, counting on His power to receive us. And Jesus says, it's only those who come that way who will be received. The point Jesus is making is this. If you will not humble yourself and become like a little child, entrusting Him to save you from your sins, you cannot be saved. There may be some of you here this morning and you're thinking like this. I want to get right with God. I intend to get right with God, but there's so much in my life that has to be sorted out. I got so many issues. I've got things I got to get right, things I got to take care of, and then I'm going to deal with God. Friend, you're thinking all wrong. Listen to what Jesus says. What you need is not to try to get yourself right with God. What you need is to come to God like a little child and ask Him to lift you up. Ask Him to receive you. Confess your sin. Acknowledge that you can't live the way that you're supposed to live. And trust His Son to make you right with Himself. You know, maybe you're thinking that you have gone too far. You're too bad to be saved. I wish I'd have heard this 20 years ago. There's no one who's too sinful to be saved. The only kind of people that Jesus saves are sinners. That's why He came. And what you need is not to be less sinful. What you need is to be more childlike and simply acknowledge your dependence and your need of Him. Humble yourself. Trust Him. Are you doing this? Does this kind of childlike faith characterize your life? Can you honestly say, it's my intention, my determination to live with such childlike humility and faith that I take God at His word, I depend upon Him, and I believe that He accepts me for the sake of Jesus? If so, then you've entered the kingdom of God. God is your God. Jesus Christ is your Savior. If not, friend, then today, right now, begin. And acknowledge that what this word says in the Scripture is true. And ask God to create in you that kind of childlike faith and dependence so that by trusting Jesus, you can be received into His kingdom. Jesus isn't calling us to be childish here. He's calling us to be childlike, to learn from the nature of little children as they trust their parents so that we, as children of God, might take Him at His word. So submit yourself to His authority today. Recognize your dependence upon Him today. Acknowledge your weakness, your ignorance, your need of help, and trust Him. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Brothers and sisters, is it possible that you have wandered away from this kind of childlike faith in your crucified and risen Lord and Savior? Do you find yourself diminishing His word, making excuses as to why His word really isn't for you in your situation? Do you find it easy to excuse your disobedience to what He says? You ever find yourself believing that your way of thinking is better than what He says? That you've figured out patterns of life that work apart from and even contrary to what God has revealed in His Word? If so, acknowledge your sin, that you've wandered from how you're supposed to live, and ask God to humble you like a child, that you, as a child with that kind of faith, can trust Him, can believe Him, and can return to Him. I love that old hymn that I learned when I was just a child that says this: "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. How I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, for grace to be more childlike in how I humble myself before the Savior. Brothers and sisters, let's make sure that we are always with an attitude and posture of valuing children. Welcome them where you see them. Welcome them like Jesus did. Assure children that you are for them, that you want for them to know the Lord Jesus. Help their parents. When parents bring children to our Bible studies and our gatherings in our homes and to worship times like this, and the kids get loud or they get cranky or they have to be disciplined and mom and dad has to take them out, don't turn around and look at them. You know, don't make them feel any worse than they already do. But go to them after the service and commend them. And tell mom, tell dad that you're with them, you're pulling for them, that you're encouraged by them, that what they're doing is right, and to stay the course. And let the children know that God's blessed them by giving them parents in a church who love them, who care for them. Let's also work hard to live with childlike faith in Jesus. To cultivate that kind of humility that simply takes God at his word and refuses to budge. That listens to what God says, believes it, and is confident that what God says is right, it's good, it's true, it's trustworthy. As we live like that, we are going to commend the power of this good news that God has sent his Son into the world to save sinners. Sinners of any age. Sinners of any background. Sinners that find themselves in any circumstance. Because he saves through the life and death and resurrection of his Son. Oh, may God help us to believe it, to proclaim it, and to commend it. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the way that he interacted with parents and children and the lessons that we learn from that. Help us to be like him, to love children, to care for them in this world. Help us to learn from children, to watch them, and work in us by your Spirit to make us humble, trusting, like children are by nature. I pray for the children in this congregation today that you'd open their eyes to show them Christ. And for adults who are here, who have wandered far from you, oh God, call them and grant to them childlike faith that they might depend upon Jesus as our Lord and Savior. For we pray in his name. Amen.